in the Ger. So that somehow
weakened
this Ruach Ra'ah for not walking Dalai Lama's without the Tirsha Dai.
When he became a Ger or when he was killed?
When he was killed. The moment he was killed, so that Mesiras Nefesh had such an impact in heaven, and that's called the name of the Vilna Gaon. The problem is that Gaon is not quoted neither in the Mishnah Berurah, nor did I hear that Gaon from Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal. I heard many, many Piskei Halacha, the name of the Vilna Gaon, but that he didn't mention. But this is unquestionably Yesh Ami Liswa. But we primarily yesterday focused on the Shvus Yaakov. The Shvus Yaakov said, Achidish Gadol. He quoted an opinion of Rav Shimon Elazar, mentioned in Brachas, mentioned in Ervin, that the entire house is considered to be Tadalat Amos Damya. And that's the Makar that one can go ahead and walk around, even though many assume that what it says, Kol Beisa Tadalat Amos Damya, would not refer to the entire house, but the entire Cheder. Similar to the passage by Mezuzah, Uksatam Mezuzah Beisecha Bisharecha, Beisecha refers to Chadarecha. Because obviously, as I mentioned yesterday, the obligation to put a mezuzah is to fix a mezuzah on every single door in the home. Not the way Rashi and Psochim and Wei, those who are not traditionally observant, they had one mezuzah at the entrance to the home based on the Rashi and Psochim. The Rashi said, Beisecha bi'oscha nichnas v'yotziba. I enter and I leave, so that's the room that requires a mezuzah. But we assume Beisecha refers to kol chadarecha, all the chadarim in the house.
That only helps if you have a bathroom in your room, but except for the master bedroom, usually you don't have a bathroom in your room, so then
okay. The other rooms you'd be stuck. Yeah, shall be this month, and what we're talking about today, that this din of not walking down Amazon, so this is clearly based on this concept of Ruach Ra. And I just want to mention now, and that's what next Mishnah Berurah we're going to talk about, hopefully, the next short while. So, of course, if you have a bathroom in the master bedroom or near where you go to sleep, so you'll, in effect, you'll walk less than Dalat Amos. But as I said, this is based on a comment of the Zohar, and that's what this Ruach Ra, even though the Gemara actually quotes Ruach Ra in the context of a sugya Masech Shabbos, with reference to getting up in the morning, the concept of Ruach Ra. But as I said yesterday, we try to find a limud zchus for Klal Yisrael as much as we can. Ad kedei kach, where I saw actually that someone even suggested, one of the Dalai Achronim, that even though, say, if one cannot keep Nebel Vasa next to one's bed, for other reasons that we're going to discuss momentarily, but if one keeps Nebel Vasa outside one's room and one stays inside one's room and extends one's hand to wash right outside, that would not be a violation of this halacha, as long as you didn't walk more than Dalat Amos. That's what the Achronim talk about. But again, if there's no water available, so then there's a big discussion. The Achronim, here we're going to discuss now, the issue that the Mishnah Berurah raises. And the Mishnah Berurah says, B'tzorach mo'ol b'zor b'zem in Sivkot Beis, u'b'zor ha'kodesh mafzik abu zeh b'onchel mo'ol. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't mention the onesh, but we pointed out that the Achronim bring from the Zohar that there's a chiyuv misa, which is, wow, walking Dalat Amos without the Tefillas Yadayim, the person is chiyuv misa. Absolutely astounding. It reminds one of the Beis Yosef, that if you put tefillah on the Chol HaMoed, which is the minhag of Eretz Yisrael, you're chiyuv misa. So that's a rather out of the box kind of onesh for this kind of an avera, which one would seem, doesn't seem to be, the enormity of it does not seem to be that great. But anyway, the Mishnah Berurah explains to you, Mashiach al-Asma Ruach HaTumma. So now I'm going to get to the next section, which is what I want to talk about today. Mishnah Berurah says, U'mikom makom chalila lavor shum isur avur chesron nitias yadai. The person is so makbid and becomes so fixated on this topic that he's even going to violate an isur, such as, a person will not, he has to go ahead and use the washroom, use the bathroom, so he'll hold himself in, he'll contain himself, which is, the Gemara says in Makkos, Bal Tashaksu, it's called later on in Shulchan Aruch, in the Chabad Shulchan Aruch, Hamashi Nekobob, Obe Mishum Bal Tashaksu. That's a Lav Doraisa. At what point you're over on it, we'll have to discuss it. The Mishnah Berurah talks about three different levels, three different stages, but Bal Tashaksu is an Isur in HaTorah, so a person says, okay, I have to go ahead and I cannot walk down Amos without the Yesodai. Meanwhile, he has to use the washroom, he has to use the bathroom. Let's say he's stage number three. That's a Lav Daraisa, whatever that stage is. So that is, Mishnah Berurah says, Chalila, Lav Oshum Isa, because of this Chisar and Yesodai. He goes further. Let's say your roommate in the yeshiva, you're a single fellow, two single guys, and he prepared Negel Vasa himself, your next door, the adjacent Shochim, and you did not do so, so you take his water. That is obviously called an act of gezel. That's called thievery. That is certainly something which is not appropriate. Mishnah Berurah says, however, in lo shabara lo shehitein take up through us and lacher, unless you immediately replace that water. If you replace that water miyat, the moment you use it, so now you can walk down the hamas, since you wash your hands. And so once you replace that water, then you've taken care of that problem. But otherwise, you're in violation of an isur of gezel. We'll discuss both these matters in a few moments. The yeshin of shalom azeh. And there are those who are nichshol in this issue. So just to talk about this issue at some length, because this is discussed by the Gdolei Achronim at great length. So a person, this is another issue we're going to have to deal with, namely, people get up in the middle of the night. Sometimes people get up, let's say you have a young child who doesn't sleep through the night, and either the wife or the husband gets up in order to take care of the child. So now the question is, what, do you have to wash an egg of vasa 3 or 4 times in the course of the night? So we saw from the Mishnah Berurah yesterday, it's mashma from the Lashon of the Mishnah Berurah, that the halacha of egel vasa only applies in the morning, once you decide to get up. Once you decide to no longer go back to sleep, then there's a din of washing your hand. As opposed to the middle of the night, it would seem that the ruach ra, again, we don't really know all the parameters of ruach ra. These are very, how shall we call them, esoteric kind of areas of halacha, more in the Kabbalistic kind of realm. And so we don't really know what the parameters are. So I saw actually that in the Eshel Avrom of the Buchacharov, he's one of the classic Gdolei Achronim, quoted in Shulchan Aruch often, he writes very clearly that this obligation of washing hands only be'eshekom yimitaso baboke shachris amanashel alishan o. You have no intention of sleeping any further. Then this halacha of washing your hands and not walking down amas without the tesiyadayim, that's when this halacha is applicable.
If you get up in the middle of the night and you want to, at 3 in the morning, go downstairs and take a drink, you don't need to wash?
No. You would have to make a bracha shahakol or whatever you decide to drink or to eat.
You can make a bracha without having washed hands six times?
Yes, correct. And it would seem that that's what he says. That's what he seems to say. I'll discuss it a bit further. That's not something I want to talk about today. And in general, the Gemara says, the Gemara in Shabbos, in Shemana Shrotz, and Gemara Daf Kuf Chesed of Beis, then the Gemara says, and that's also quoted here in Shulchan, we didn't get to it yet, that you're not supposed to touch any of the orifices of your body. Yad the peti kotzeitz, yad the ozinti kotzeitz, etc., etc. That's called the sakona, but that's only apparently the sakona applies on what circumstances? The moment you decide to go, to get up out of your bed, not go back to sleep, you have no intention of sleeping any further, in the middle of the night, if you get up, it's not considered to be a sakona, because I bring you a simple raya, lich ora, apisvara, because in the course of the night, people sometimes toss and turn. Not everyone is able to sleep in a, how shall we say, in a
continuous
fashion where, what?
Continuous.
Continuously, but many people are very, in the course, they are quite restive sleepers. And they're not able to actually have a, they have fitful, they sleep fitfully. I'm one of those. And as a result, you are mitapech, po v'sham, here and there, to and fro in the course of the night. And you're going to touch different parts of your body in the course of it. You're dying, askoni yosein. That's my hope to rash for the rush that we'll get to in a little while. And again, if you assume that every time you touch the orifices of your body, it's a sakona, so you have a sakona, kol alayla. Al korcha, you have to assume that when does this problem come to the fore? After in the morning. After in the morning, when a person wakes up and you decide not on going back to sleep, that's when you have this issue of ruach atuma. Again, as I said, we don't really fully understand, and we're not able to fully define all the parameters of this ruach atuma. It's an esoteric kind of area. So again,
unless
the situation of the child where the baby gets up and you go to take care of the child, you go back to sleep, and you might touch different parts of the baby's body in the course of trying to take care of the baby, quieting the baby, touching their eyes and touching their nostrils and who knows what. And so that's what the Eshel Avraham says. In the middle of the night, you don't have to worry. There's no obligation, there's no chiyah to be concerned about that issue. The entire issue comes up, dafka, in the context of the morning. So now going back to this Mishnah Berurah, who says, Chavilo l'abar al shum isar, Abu Chisar and Netilas Yadayim. He has two examples. One is Balsa Shaktsu, that you're over on the Isar of you have to use the bathroom, and the second is taking water that does not belong to you. So both of these issues I would like to talk about. As I mentioned, that this first issue, or actually we'll discuss both of these issues, the issue of Balsa Shaktsu. So I mentioned a few moments ago, there are three levels, three stages of Balsa Shaktsu. Let's not talk about that right now, but let's just mention the last stage means I simply have to go. I have no choice. It's going to be either I find a washroom or the situation will not be of a very positive nature. That's the last level of Balsa Shaktsu. The urge is very, very strong. I have to restrain myself. So here, the Eshel Avram, that's what the Mishnah actually is quoting. He said, by being, Eshel Avram wants to give you Eitzes. He said, let's say you're able to be Masiach Das. Let's say you're able to somehow still that urge. By Hesach Hadas, somehow you're able to divert your attention. Sometimes it's possible. There are psychological studies on this matter as well. And so that would be called Baal Teshaktsu. And the question is, how do I emerge from the Baal Teshaktsu? How do I somehow divert my attention where, well, perhaps I will not be over here on Baal Teshaktsu? And the reason why, again, I mention this is because sometimes it happens in the middle of davening. Sometimes it can happen to a Shiach Tzibur. If it keeps coming back, then you know it's real. Then you know it's genuine. Then you know you're holding it Baal Teshaktsu. You're trying all kinds of using psychological ploys in order to somehow avoid Baal Teshaktsu, and you're not successful, and it's clear you're not going to be successful. So the Mishnah Berurah says again, he tells you that you're not chalila, you're not supposed to be over any Easter, especially if it's an Easter Daraisa, like Baal Teshaktsu, if you're at the last stage, because you're concerned about the Salocha, about walking Dalai Lamas, believing in Tiyas Yodayim. Now, the next issue the Mishnah Berurah mentions, taking someone else's water. L'chura seems to be a milsa l'pshita. As a matter of fact, if you look at the bottom of the Mishnah Berurah, the bottom means the Shad Tzion. The Shad Tzion writes over here in Gimel, Pashut. He doesn't understand what the chiddush of this is. Taking someone else's water, in order that you should be able to not be over at the din of Dalai Lamas, Lulim Tzias Yadayim. It's a milsa l'pshita that this is an issue of Gezel. But l'chura, it's not so Pashut at all. That the Gemara has in Bava Metzia, the last time I probably learned this sugya was in fifth grade. Yehu Shalom Yidas. I have learned it a number of times with a number of my grandchildren who start learning Gemara, so I've actually reviewed that parak with them, all the kashas on this issue, Yehu Shalom Yidas, El Metzias. And the Gemara actually, Tosis has a very famous maskan over there. As soon as we pass in Yehu Shalom Yidas, if I know that someone will be masking if I take his chavetz, I have a chaver, a very good chaver, a close chaver of mine, he won't object. He obviously, maybe he's of that level of the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, that Shali Shalcha, Bishalcha Shalcha, maybe he's holding by a Madrega of such a chassid, that what's mine is yours and what's yours is yours. So if you're holding by that kind of level and you won't be makbid, and you didn't ask him, you didn't receive any permission to go ahead and take that water or take whatever chepetz. So again, if that's the situation, so this is the question, are you over on the Easter of Gezel or not? So this is Machlokes in Tosfos and the Shach. Tosfos Bava Metzia Daf Bei is a very famous Tosfos, a very famous sugya, that had he known that you would have taken the water, he would be besimcha, he'd be very, very happy. So then, sure, he doesn't know, but if he were to have known, so since we passed in that Yerusha Medas, Lava Yerusha, according to this position, you're over on the lab of Gezel. That's, if you assume, again, that's exactly what Mishnah Berurah here is talking about.
Isn't it different because he's using it for a mitzvah?
Okay, so there's a concept that nichol ele inish lemevin mitzvah mamoni. So some achrenim say that, and echanami, that would be obviously the justification for doing what you did. The Shulamach Harav, the Shulamach of Alatanya, I saw it yesterday, in Hilchos Metzia Simen Dalin, he quotes his Tosfos Halacha. He says, Osa lehonos mishum dover shel chaveo shalom yidas. You're not supposed to go and have an offer from something that doesn't belong to you without the knowledge of your friend. Ava Bishe Kvar, even though the Mishnah Berurah says, Borulo, She Yivod Al Abaylim Yismachu, Biyogilu, they'll be very happy when they find out that you were able to be Nene from something that you require. They have no difficulty with that. Then they are Abasim also. Yes, very dramatic because they love you, because you're good friends. Mikoma Gomasa, Lefika Hanichna Sapadi Shachavero, Liktol Peros, Belit Das Abaylim, Abu Bishabal Apardes, Oval Agina, Ohavo, Bereyo, Kenafsho, even though he's a good friend of yours, the owner of the Pardes, says the Shulchanoch Harav, Uvada Yismuchu Biagilu, Mikomukom Kim Shachshav, Enen Yodea Mizeh, Havinene Biisur. That's called having Hanoah Biisur, Vitzorach Lazhiro, the Rabbim, Shenichshonu Mazeh, Machmas Chisor Yediyah. Wow. So, again, I mean, this has many, many Halacha Lamaisa examples. Someone calls me from a mikvah. I don't go to the mikvah except every Rosh Hashanah, every Yom Kippur. There are people who go every day. There are those who go every Erev Shabbos. Not only the Ram and the Rabbi regarding going every day. We generally pass the Inam Mechuyot to whatsoever, because the Gemara says regarding that Tevilah, which was Niskan by Ezra HaSofer, Halo Kodz Varei Ka'eshnu Hashem, Ma'eshin Mekabel Tumah, Tibetorah Mekabel Tumah. So to learn Torah, you don't have to go to the mikvah. And beyond that, the issue is only for Tefillah, for davening. That's the Machlokes of Rishonim. And the Gemara and many Mishnah say it's Xerah Shein Rav Atziv Lichol Lamaba, and therefore there's no need to go to the mikvah Adim. But now those are very makbid. So in the mikvah, someone calls me and tells me he forgot his shampoo. And now the question is there shampoo lying there with someone's name on it? Can I use that shampoo? A phone call I get from the mikvah, and someone asked me if he could use someone else's shampoo in the course of the mikvah. There's a mikvah right in this neighborhood, as I imagine all of you are aware, which is used pretty prominently. Anyway, but the name of the bottle is one of my best friends, one of my good chaver. So I am certain that any shum sofek, that if I ask him, he'll be maskim. But according to what we just read in Shulchan Aruch Harav, that's already a shayla of gezel. It's a question of gezel. So in Shulchan Aruch in Shin Nun Ches, he quotes this machlokes and sif alas. He places about metziah, nele metzias, and it's also hagol sashri. It's a Mordechai, and the shach says lule de mistafina. And I've not been afraid of the Balei HaTzitzis, I would say it's permissible. The Yeshul Amidah Shaini, that, because even though afterwards, obviously when he finds out, he'll be very happy, and he just does not know at this point in time. Ubal Korcha, he says, Umiyaj Mashenkin Bimitziyashol, Peros Chavero, Hu Yismach, Bukhla, Lokash, Lusun, Shalom, Amidah, she tries to be Miyashi. Anyway, Halacha Lamaisa, the Shach says it's Mutter. There's no problem. The person will be happy, and also what you mentioned, and this is a very well-known issue. And so, yeah, halacha lemaisa, let's say in another area as well, you go into someone's home and you're very thirsty, you're waiting for them to come, and you have to have something to drink, so you go to the refrigerator and you take out and have some orange juice. Is that permissible? This is machlokes the shach and the Balei HaTzitzis over here. Same issue. That's the issue that Mishnah Berurah actually is referring to. And again, in general, if you look at the Achronim write down, I actually saw, I have to have all this sefer as well. I'm looking at Sfarim now that I never looked at. I'll be honest with you. Any Yom Tov, I bought the sefer because I saw it, she quoted it once. I have a very large edition of Any Yom Tov. It's actually very clear print. So I saw that Any Yom Tov has a tshuva in Kuf Yud Aleph. He explains that what the Shach is talking about, why it's permissible. In order to eat someone else's food, the peros, he says you only require that the balabayas actually should not be makbid. As he puts it, there should be nichusa. It doesn't require an act of hakno. By yeish, the person is makbid, but there's a new din that the person is miyayish. Even though he doesn't want to be miyayish, it's yeish shalomidas, it's a chalois yeish. The halach is yeish yishtal. That's a machodik in Abayim Rava. But to create it, it's not sufficient. In effect, nichusa, but you need a chalois yeish. So you can't take it. Anyway, the halacha, shochanocha, rabbi, kitzer, shochanocha, paschal, like the Rishonim, and against the Shach, so this is totally on this issue. I saw it yesterday, the issue was even discussed by the Tzai Sacheshe. In Simi Chavseh Sifei, he quotes the Shach, he says, Ein Dvorav Buchrochim. The Aika Kabbalah Tesis. He seems to side with the position of the Kabbalah Tesis, that he should be machri regarding this, and therefore the Halacha, he should not take it. Even later on in Shulchan Aruch, there's a whole discussion, and this is a very famous issue, about in shuls and the like, about the taking a siddur that has in it a specific name, someone's name is in that siddur, could I go ahead and take it? So the Mechaber and the Ramo actually, and the Mishnah Berurah talks about it. If there's a chash that you might have to tear the pages and the like, and sometimes people are machmir, and they don't want you to go ahead and tear any of that. So therefore, under those circumstances, the halacha would be that you cannot do so. We generally assume that the siddur that belong to a shul, obviously, it's for the purpose of the public to use. It's a public consumption. That's exactly what they want. So that's not an issue. That would not be a problem, actually, whatsoever, of any kind of gezel. This is the issue which is at stake over here. The Machlokes in the Shach and the Balei HaTzitzis, and this is a very, very well-known, very famous issue. But again, it's something the Nachman Ephraim says, what you mentioned earlier, that midid lo makbid ol avishum adam lo havi gezel klal. You assume that people will not be makbid, perhaps on the shampoo, and will not be makbid on the person taking water, especially if you plan on replacing the water. If you know the person knows a kapton, sometimes you have people who are kapdoni. People who are very sticklers for their property and will not be masking, then you have a problem. There's no question. But that's the lashon of Mishnah Berurah. The chalila labor, Mishnah Berurah said, you should be over on edi yisur machmazet. Now the question is the next question, which I'm going to raise, which is also raised by the Zoli Achronim. Let's say you want to wash egel vasa, and your wife is you're in the master bedroom, and if you start with the egel vasa and she's a light sleeper, a shayla of gezel shina, that you might go ahead and awaken her in the course of, or you might even do something else, as someone told me, that the first time they were married, I think it's at the night after Shemir Brachas. After the first Shemir Brachas, they washed Negel Vasser, and the water splashed all over the new kala, and that is not a good thing. and not only did you wake her up, but you also splashed her with water. And therefore, the question is, under those circumstances, did the Mishnah Berurah, so someone told me, but the Mishnah Berurah does not mention that Issa. I says, the Gemara says, well, the Mishnah Berurah has mentioned every single Issa, every possible scenario that can come to the fore. Of course not, there's an obligation to do so. So this question of washing Nagelwasser, and where it might create disturbances, or it might in effect put people in a bit difficult situation, this is also a very significant issue. Maybe just for a moment or two, I'll talk about the issue of Gezel Shina, about what exactly the nature of that issue is, and it's not a simple issue, it's a complicated issue of the halacha. First of all, what's the makor for the issue of Gezel Shina? The Gemara always says, all over Shas, the Gemara quotes usually with reference to Gezel, Gezel needs, you have to do a Maisik Zela. Vayigzol esechanit b'yad ha-mitzvim. You have to do a pu'ula, an act of Zela, not to be over on Gezel. Just to go ahead and create Dama ben Nesina is a very good, excellent raya, because there you see, he was very very makbid, and even though it involved a major hefsin, a tremendous loss that he's going to incur, of course he got it back, because the kibbut of the hang that he displayed was basically, that's all Meshik used to always indicate, something which is ironic. We have a mitzvah kibbut of the hang, very clear mitzvah, and the Rishonim write that mitzvah is based on Hakara Satov. The Chinuch writes like that, the Ramban writes like that. Then the Rishonim assume that this mitzvah is based on Hakara Satov. And a non-Jew, is that one of the Shem Mitzvah Bnei Noach? No. It's not mentioned the Aleph Tzayin of Shem Mitzvah Bnei Noach. And yet, every example the Chazal always cite for Kibbut Avayim is a non-Jew. Number one, Esav. Assuming that Esav is the status of a non-Jew, the Gemara Kedushin calls him Mshumat. And David ben Asina, the classic, as you mentioned, two examples of David ben Asina. So Chazal cannot find a Jew's Mekayim the mitzvah Kibbut Avayim properly. Rav Tarfa, the Gemara Kedushin, since you referred to the mother Rav Tarfa, and the unbelievable Kibbut Avayim that he displayed towards her. But Kibbut Avayim is a very difficult mitzvah to give a Kayim in full. Not a simple mitzvah. But going back to the issue of Gezel Shinos, that may be one marker. Very good. But in terms of, to someone to say, I'm waving on the Sigzal, where's the Maisik Zela? You can't say I'm waving on the Sigzal. There's no Pu'ula. There's no act of Gezel that's involved. But Pashtus, I would say, what are you over on? V'ahavta l'racha kamocha. There's a din v'ahavta l'racha kamocha, which is a pasuk in Chumash. Amar Rav Akiva, Zekal Gola Batera, V'ahavta l'racha kamocha. And you, and what's the translation of V'ahavta l'racha kamocha? I'll tell you the translation. The Ramban in Chumash, the Perek Yitzes in Kedoshim, says it explicitly. The Rambam writes like this also in Hilchos Avelos. In Hilchos Avelos, the Rambam has a whole list of, I mentioned it the other day, the Rambam has a whole list of pu'ulos that are basically dinim derabbanan, namely, Nichav Avela, Mevigul Chayla, Mechnasat Kala, and Havayasa Meis, those are all dinim derabbanan. But the kiyum is a kiyum deraisa. What kiyum deraisa is there? V'ahavta l'racha kamocha. Says the Rambam, what does it mean, V'ahavta l'racha kamocha? He says exactly what the Ramban writes also in Chumash. The way you would like to be treated by others, that's the way you should treat them. So would you like, shall we say, if you're sleeping, and someone decides to go ahead and make noise in the room, put on the music, and so this goes on in the yeshiva, kalayom ka'alayla. I sit on Dine Torah, ki'ilu kalayom ka'alayla, these kinds of issues. But this one wants to go to sleep at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock, it's the middle of the day. What is with you? Of course, he wakes up to minyan on time, and all that. And the other one goes to sleep at 2:30, and you see him. He appears at 1 o'clock for mincha. But anyway, so now the question is, who's correct? Does he have the right, this roommate, to say, I want to go to sleep at 10 o'clock? How could you go to sleep at 10 o'clock? You're not someone who's a normative kind of individual. Nobody goes to sleep at 10 o'clock. And no one wakes up like you at 5 o'clock in the morning, where he learns this fella. We wake up at normal times. So now the question is, who's right? And how do you down these issues? So they're very, very complicated, but there's no question, as I said, if you would not want to be woken up, you have no right to wake someone else up. That's called V'ahavta l'racha kamocha. The Gemara uses a condition in Mamalach with reference to us alone in the Kaddish Yisrael Shachirena. Shema Yireh Ba'adav Meguna V'tizgan Allah V'atari Amra V'ahavta l'racha kamocha. But it means essentially what the Ram and Ramban say, that you can't be Mitzayer another Jew. That's another Issa. That's also a law in the Torah of being Mitzayer another Jew. There's different ways of being Mitzayer people. There's an Issa of Enos Mamon, not to cheat someone. There's also an Issa of Enos Dvarim. That's a Mishnah. The last Mishnah Hazov is the fourth paragraph of Amitzia. Talks about not to be Mitzayer another Jew, Lotzenu Isha Samiso. That's a answer, very clear. So here we're talking about being Mitzayer someone by waking them up, and that's also an issue. I want to read, I found this yesterday through a nes. I saw in the Mishnah Sabaran, which is Sabaran Kofa, that someone told me that he talks about this issue of a Gezel Shina. So he discusses here the period of Yemei Asfira, Kayadua, that the Talmid of Akiva, Gemara says that they died Shalom Nogu Kavod Zelazet. So he writes, Abaram covers himself. He says, take a look at the Omesh. I mean, they died, 24,000 Talmidim perished. So he says, Avi Agama, Akama Gdola Hakpeda, Bishlemus Ahanhoga Anachonim, Bemidos, and Deracheret, Befrat, it's a lovely Torah. Dovi Olam, we're talking about people who are great, Talmidim Chachamim, and yet look what happened. And then he said, what is the definition? What's the issue? The issue is, as he puts it, Hitchashvut Bazulat, Bichlodo Ubahanato, Limnoa Mimeru Tsar, to prevent someone else from having tsar. Even if it's something minor, something which just seems to be a trifling. And he gives a number of examples. And he goes on to describe the following. Listen to this description. Adam shemashlich niyar ala ritzba, biyeshiva. He decides that he's eating candy, takes the wrapper and just throws it on the floor. Whether he throws it on the floor in the shul, throws it on the floor in the street. My mother, la shalom, so my parents lived in Yerushalayim, Yom Kodesh, and they made Aliyah towards the end of their lives after my father retired. And my mother used to walk in the streets. My brother does the same thing. Walk in the streets with a bag and pick up all the wrappers that are on the floor. So I asked her, she's working for the sanitation department. Does she get paid as a sanitary engineer or something along those lines? So she told me no, but how she could not fathom seeing Yerushalayim b'tzura b'luchlechet. And seeing Yerushalayim where she lived in Sanhedrin b'chevet, that it should be b'luchlech, that it should be dirty. So I said, but who appointed you? So she said it was a self-appointment. She appointed herself, minu yatsmi, to become this. Anyway, so my mother used to pick up all the candy wrappers that were on the floor. So he writes over here, Rabban covers that cell. Let's say you're in a yeshiva, you're in a shul, and you just drop a candy wrapper on the floor. Milvat sheyesh b'zeh mishumora migdosh, the over on the east of Midoshi Tiro, I raise the Gorim Inimut, the Chalorim, anyone who's there, he quotes the Gemara Chagiga, Nafe, famous Gemara. The Gemara says, quotes the Pasuk Kehelis, that Elohim Yavi B'Mishpat Al Kol Ne'elam, Zeharok B'Fnei Chavero, the Nimasba, someone who expectorates in front of his friend. And the other fellow is, shall we say, highly perturbed by this kind of behavior. I'll tell you what this reminded me of. When I was a little kid, I'm sure none of you remember this, but I saw it. Once in a while, we dropped in a shul that had spittoons. You know what I'm talking about? And they were, I would say, probably, maybe I'm exaggerating, every dollar amos, there was another spittoon. So they would collect all the, I'm trying to speak in a very metaphorically nice fashion, they would collect all the spittle, and then they came to Aleinu, and they said, Shemish tachadim l'averik, and they would, shpayos, they would go and expectorate. At that point in time, these spittoons, I was 5 years old, and my father, Shalom, I remember, he went crazy. And then my father finally found this Gemara Chagiga. Elohim Yavid B'Mishpat Al Kol Ne'elam, Zarok B'Fnei Chavero B'Nimasba. You act in a fashion which is not pleasing to people around you. So I found coming from the Gemara. V'Yadua Shebebeischa Makbidim Al Zeh. You would not do that in your own home. And now you go ahead and engage in this kind of behavior. It gives other examples that are fascinating. I take out a sefer from the Oran HaSfarim in the shul, and I don't return it. So they say from the stipler that this is a violation of the pasuk in Chumash. Or Rashon Yochim is divrei Torah zos lasal sam a parshin kisovu based on the Ramban. Ramban says it refers to gaboy besakneses that don't return from the kumah. But forget about that. I don't think that's the truth of shemikra of that pasuk. But it's obviously acting in a fashion which is totally and completely not taking into consideration anybody else. Someone needs that sefer. A few moments later, they're going to have to spend their entire morning looking for that sefer in the Mishnah. A little hitchashrut im asviva, and he gives other examples. Yoshim b'misiva, you're sitting at a, let's say, maybe a simcha, and someone is talking to his friends, and someone else is speaking. And while someone else is speaking, you are, so we say, speaking the kol rum, having a conversation with somebody else, or playing music, or doing something along those lines. I think I mentioned once before, I mentioned actually in shul, that my Rebbe, I'm going to be some albums that's out. I was in his home a number of times. So, in his home, in one of the walls, there was a massive mural of a convention. I won't say which convention it was. A convention attended by Dolei HaRabbanim, and there was obviously a presidium, and it was multi-tiered, and there were a lot of people there. So he asked me, take a look at the picture, what do you see? I saw a lot of people. Hundreds and hundreds of people sitting in a room. He said, no, look more carefully. I looked, as I said, I saw literally hundreds of personages. I said, look at the dais. Okay, now I look at the dais. I saw several Gedolei Yisrael there sitting at the dais. And there's on the rostrum, there's a speaker who's speaking. And then I realized, I think I knew what he wanted, but then he explained it to me because it wasn't, I didn't have 20 questions. Time to ask 20 questions, question and answer. It wasn't a simple Simon kind of affair. Anyway, so he tells me, take a look at what's going on over there. Every single person on the dais, with the exception of one person, was occupied with something else. So he told me it was the seventh speaker, murderer's row, one after the next, and the seventh speaker, and who has, by that point, who has the forbearance, the patience to listen to seven speakers. So each way, there was two or three were learning, and two or three were, shall we say, decided to chapat remo, as they say, and different people were involved, with the exception of one individual, whose ear was carefully cocked to the speaker, who spoke in English, which this individual didn't really understand, although he did apparently, but he didn't understand it, and that was Adrena Rosh HaFeinzi Tzatzal. So my Rebbe was put that picture on the wall just to show the godliness of his Rebbe, not in terms of his knowledge of Kol HaTorah Kula and the rest of it, but rather how sensitive he was to other people's sensibilities. That's what Avraham Kohler writes over here. And so therefore this, and then he suggests, so now coming to Gezel Shina, he mentioned that also. So what's the Isser? So till now we said the Isser might be B'Avraham Gavocha. Till now, he said, this might be this issue that I just mentioned over here. He says, Avraham Kohler, the issue is an issue of Nizkei Shcheinim, that you're causing Nezek to a Shochen, you're causing harm to someone actually, I mean, the Vay again. If I cause discomfort to someone else by doing the kind of things that he mentioned here a moment ago, and disturbs other people, that he calls in together a Nizkei Shcheinim. And this is already a Dinah Shulchan Aruch, actually, in Siman Kuf Nun-Vav. Let's say you have a situation where people are Tinoga Shel Beis Rabban. And you're teaching, let's say, in your home. But they're making enormous amount of noise in your home, but you're teaching Torah. So, ein ha-shcheinim michol limchos v'yado, and let's say shcheinim are disturbed by it. They have no right to say they're disturbed if it's a question of teaching Torah, because that's already somehow a separate kind of din. So, Rav Aaron Kotler assumes that this is a halacha of nishkei shcheinim. It's also based on the Nesivos in Kufnun Hey, Sivkot and Ches. And here, again, because as you probably are aware, and I actually went looking yesterday, Baruch Hashem, I found it in the Sefer called Tumas HaMusa by Abdul Katz. Abdul Katz was a very well-known mechaber of several volumes of Tumas HaMusa. His son, Hagoyin of Yaakov Katz, Shlita, was a Ram in Yeshivat. He was in HaKotel, the Tivarye, which was exactly, he's a Goy Nadir. So he and Rabbi Nevinson Shlita, very, very close friends, he did in Nefesh. So his father wrote a sefer of Tumat HaMusa, fantastic sefer. If you have a lot of time on your hands again, with a few weeks off, it's kedai to read that sefer. So he quotes a ma'aseh. I had to go looking for it yesterday. With Avisal Salat, the founder of the Muslim movement, that he brings over there a situation of negel vasa, that someone wants to wash negel vasa, but he has to go and pass a number of other people in the course of doing negel vasa. So Avisal Salat said, Gezel Shina. Isur Daraisa. Yetilas Yadayim and Negel Vasa Din Darabanan. So therefore it's clear you're not going to be able to Isur Daraisa in order to take care of this issue, shall we say, the issue of Negel Vasa. And essentially he understands the issue to be one of Niske Shcheinim. And I also actually went looking in the Sefer, Love Your Neighbor as Yourself. And with this I have to be Messiah because I have to go to a meeting in my yeshiva. So there he quotes in Love Your Neighbor, Rabbi Pliskin. He quotes a very fascinating psak of in the name of Rabbi Chaim Briska. That Gezel Shina is also under another Isa. This is a fourth Isa. What's the fourth Isa? A pasuk in Mishlei, Perach HaBeis, pasuk HaBeis. Al Tigzal Dal Ki Dalu. Don't steal from a Dal. Dal generally means a poor person, someone who's economically impoverished. Don't steal from him Ki Dalu. What is he understand the pasuk to mean? That person is weak. Means I can go ahead and take advantage of that individual. So he, the Briska of, apparently said in the name of Rav Chaim Briska that he issued the following psak based on this pasuk, namely, a person is sleeping. So he's a dal because he's in a position where he can't protest. He can't lodge any protest. He's not operating. He's not in commission. He can't prevent you from doing what you're doing. And you go ahead and wake him up, You're a gazlan. Al tigzol dal ki dalhu means in the case where there's a kind of discontent, you're doing the wrong thing. So then you are disturbing this person. So this is again a rabbanon, obviously, but it's a gather discontent. I'll just end by saying, so what does that mean? Anytime a person wants to do something which is the correct thing to do, so somebody can come with all kinds of tainus. So first, that's why you have to establish al pi halacha what the situation is. Do I have a right to go ahead? And of course, l'chatchila, one should obviously do negel vaser, but do it in a way where you're not going to disturb anyone, you're not going to wake anybody up, where you won't create any kind of problematica. Certainly a problematica where there are, as I said, the isurim min hatorah, even assuming the gezel shina is not an isur min hatorah. It doesn't sound like an isur d'oraisa to me. Even all that which I quoted, at best it's a din d'rabbanan. Because it's a din d'rabbanan, that you should be cognizant of. So that's what Mishnah Berurah is saying over here. And essentially he's saying the Gemara in Shabbos. Namely, that which the, if you remember the story with the Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, and what Beis Hillel eventually said, the aloch sani, the chabrach lesavi. That which is hateful to you, don't do to your neighbor. And that seems to be the yesod here of the Mishnah Berurah that he's talking about. So he gives you two examples, namely the example of Baltashatsu and the other example. Okay, B'ez Hashem, hopefully tomorrow we'll continue on this map.
So what's this getter of not going back to sleep? Because I was thinking about this morning.